Luke chapter 4, reading verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterwards hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan. For it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself from hence. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for... I want us to take a look at the timing of this temptation. We'll take a look at the sighting of the temptation. We'll take a look at the manner of the temptation. And the response of Christ to the temptation of the evil one. And as we do it, I would like a twofold outcome. I want us with worshiping spirit to view Jehovah's servant. For Jehovah could say of him, Behold my servant, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth, he shall not fail. The perfection of Christ in his manhood. We will see evidence of his true humanity. He hungered, he was in a body that necessitated bread to sustain. If we turn to John chapter 6, you'll find him wearied with his journey. You'll notice that he slept in the boat. He was truly man. And I quote another, He was as much a man as I am. But thank God he wasn't such a man as I am. And as we delight our souls in the person of Christ and his perfection and sinlessness, I want us to glean example from his response. You'll notice that to each temptation, the perfect servant, he resorted to the word of God. He said, it is written. You know, that was the error in Eden's garden. Yes, the tempter, he thoroughly deceived Eve. And his response was, thou shalt not surely die, but you'll be as gods, knowing good and evil. Well, what had God said? God said, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. The word of God would have been a sure defense against the evil one. Just in passing, she would have been better to have consulted her husband. But what did she do? She looked at the tree. It was pleasant to the eye. It was good for food. It was a tree to be desired to make one wise. She resorted to human reasoning rather than the safeguard of the Word of God. I'd like us to get an example here. For we have the same enemy, but there's something within us that would respond to the tempter. Thank God we'll notice that Christ could say, the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. There was nothing in Christ that would respond to the tempter's snare. Adam, an innocent man, proved that he was capable of sinning. Moses, the man of God, admittedly under sore provocation, he spake unadvisably with his lips. We are liable to failure. But thank God, in extreme trying circumstances, we'll see the impeccability of Christ. I have two dictionaries at home. One tells me it's not liable to fail or sin. The other one tells me it's incapable of sin. I'll take the second if the word does mean that. In his temptation, Christ proved that he was neither capable or liable to failure. Notice the timing of the temptation. The occasions in your Bible when Satan personally intervened are few in number. He came in the garden to tempt our first parents. You'll notice again, he seemed to personally undertake in the life of Job. I know the cleansing of Joshua the high priest, possibly that is a type of a parable scene. He did seem to personally intervene with the sifting of the disciples. Satan hath desired to have thee, that he may sift thee as wheat. He entered into Judas Iscariot, and those two main men at end time, that political leader, that giant of a man, and that religious leader, that deceiver, that will be energized by the dragon Satan himself. He did intervene, you know, when God expressed his satisfaction in the work of creation. as the eye of God rested on that first scene of Eden and creation, I read in my Bible that God saw it was good. No, God saw that it was very good. Man placed in dominion over every creature, and a helpmeet given to him. You know that some of the brethren here, and they would tell you that their wife is the prettiest one in the province. I want to tell you, she wouldn't compare with the first. She must have been a beautiful creature, right fresh from the hand of God, and a suitable help for Adam to share life with him. And about that fair scene that God saw that it was very good, we have an immediate attack of the evil one. When God said about Job what he wouldn't say about me, "Hast thou considered my servant Job? There's none like him in all the earth." Oh, Satan with his cruelty come in and robbed Job of his whole family in one day, of his every possession. His friends became his critics, until that princely man sat in the ashes, afflicted with boils. The one that was given God pleasure became a target for the evil one. And now we come to our present section. You'll notice that the temptation, I know he was led of the Spirit. Even in the case of Job, God allowed Satan to go so far and no further. But he had an instrument that he knew would come through the crucible. And for God's pleasure, he was led of the Spirit, but it was immediately after Jordan's scene, when God with delight and dignity had opened the heavens and declared, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Immediately, Satan would come with his attack and his temptation. Give me a saint that's given God pleasure. Give me a company of saints that's given God honor and pleasure. I'll give you a target for the evil one. Some years ago, I met a brother, and he said, "Do you know, I feel we have the best assembly in Northern Ireland." I trembled when he spoke. Not 6 months later, I met him. And he said, "Sam, my heart's broken. That which was a pleasure to my brother, and I believe a testimony for God, became a target for the evil one." The timing of the temptation. The sighting of the temptation. Notice the first man he failed in a garden scene. A liberal, generous God placed him in that paradise, surrounded by every fruit-bearing tree, and said, "God, in his generosity, of all the trees in the garden thou mayest freely eat." He was in a scene where want would never be experienced. He was in a paradise of delight. He was provided for his every need with one prohibition. The tree that in the midst of the garden thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And in that pleasant scene, the first man, he failed and he went down. Now, where do we find the second man, the Lord from heaven? He was God manifest in flesh. We find him in a wilderness, not surrounded by fruit-bearing trees, not provided for every luxury, but in a wilderness, a barren scene. Tested for 40 days. You remember when Moses was in the mount alone with God, 40 days proved too much for the nation. He came down and found they had turned to idolatry, and even Aaron had failed. 40 years in the wilderness scene, but showed the tendency to fail. 40 days in a wilderness scene, having nothing to eat, yes, a real man that hungered. It was in that scene that the tempter struck. It was in that scene that the Christ he conquered. The manner of temptation. You'll notice in two of the temptations, I know Matthew will put them in a different order to what we get them here. The tempter would preface his temptation in two of the temptations. If thou be the Son of God, I don't believe that Satan doubted that he was the Son of God. But the Son of God in want, the Son of God hungry, the Son of God in a wilderness for 40 days and found to be hungry. Yes, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone or these stones that they be made bread. He had a power to do that. But the perfect servant, he said, I came not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And in perfect manhood, he wouldn't send a multitude away hungry. The disciples, to their shame, would have sent men hungry, and sent them home to say, we are in the presence of Christ. We were left hungry. We were left to seek our supply from another source. No. He would look on compassion on the multitude. He would feed 5,000 and leave 12 basketfuls of fragments. But as a dependent one, he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. I said we'd look for an example. Oh, we'll glory in the perfection of Christ. But could we see a fitting example to preserve the feet of saints? Tell me, young brother, would you, like Samson, be seeing a fair maiden? No, she hasn't professed to be saved. No, she lives a nice life. She's all that you could ask for a partner. And like Samson, would you say, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well? Will you remember the answer of the perfect one was this: it is written. In my visitation, I was having meetings. Well, actually, there's one of the ladies came to the meetings, and she was a saved person, and later I would have called occasionally to visit her. She and her elderly sister, both saved, they lived together. And in fact, she told me one day, she says, you know, when my minister calls, I told him, when the brethren call here, they pray. She says, you never pray. Well, she said he tried to, but she says the man can't pray. But one day I was in with them, and she said to her sister, who went to another company, ask this man that question. I said, what's your question? She says, what do you think of Christian women that would go to church, as she put it, without their hat? Oh, I said, no, I'll not tell you what I think at all. But I'll tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says it's one as if she was shaven or shorn. And if it be a shame for a woman to be shaven or shorn, let her be covered. I said, the Bible is very clear about that. Yes, the Bible is very clear about the unequal yoke. And it is written, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. My dear young brother, my dear young sister, the day you walk down the aisle to join in an unequal yoke will be one of the saddest days in life's experience. It is written. Yes, it is written, you know. The man ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of the Lord. But the woman, she's not the image, she's not the representation, she's the glory of the man. For this cause, she ought to have power on her head, because of the angel. The example, the lesson we learn from the temptation of the evil one, the defense is found in the Word of God. We said when he took him to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Well, he is the God of this world, you know. He's the prince of the power of the air. Adam lost the authority to have dominion. For in the day we live, a mongrel dog would rise against you and bite you. Not so to Adam, as he had dominion over every creature and all of creation. And there is coming a day when the kingdom of this world will be the kingdom of God and of his Christ. And God has said to the Son, ask of me and I will give thee the heavens for the heathen for thine inheritance, the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. The disciples in Acts 1, they asked, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Now, Christ did not say that they were wrong in their expectations. I hope there's not a spark of amillennialism in my system, because if there was, I think I would seek a heart transplantation. The day is coming. And there's one in Hebrews 2, we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus crowned with glory and honor. We see a man that has conquered, and he's seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high, and God has said to him, Sit thou upon my right hand until I make thine enemies the footstool of thy feet. But he'd take no honor from the adversary. His answer was, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Did you notice? The tempter didn't say on that occasion, If thou be the Son of God. It wouldn't be consistent with the temptation. Doubtless he would have been prepared to give much honor to one that would bow down and worship him. But the perfect servant of Jehovah, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, him only shalt thou serve. Behold, my servant, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth, he shall not fail. And he is proved fitted and worthy to reign. And Jesus shall reign where'er the sun doth his successive journeys run, his kingdom stretch from shore to shore, till moon shall wax and wane no more. But the temptation was, rule without the cross. But it was through death he destroyed him who had the power of death, and delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. He shall not fail. The third temptation, he comes back to this, if thou be the Son of God. Set him on the pinnacle of the temple. If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. But he didn't quote the beginning of that psalm, which reads, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Give a display of the power that is thine. Put God to the test. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Very few of us, you know, would start out on our way to the conference without asking God for preservation on the journey. That doesn't entitle you to drive like a madman, you know. Young man, when you get behind the wheel, you're dependent on God for your preservation. And thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. I was leaving a home one night after taking a gospel meeting, and the lady of the house said to me, now she said, Sam, drive home like a Christian. I trust as we have considered the temptation of the God's perfect servant, truly man, verily God, totally dependent on the will of his God, found no attraction in the tempter's snare, come out in triumph, and the angels ministered to him.